Bang. What's going on, people? We're back again for UFC Vegas 91, another main card breakdown on the Lucrative MMA YouTube channel. It feels like it's been a while because we had a week off last week. There was only PFL one, so I didn't do a YouTube live stream. But we're back again. UFC's back in our lives. Apologies for not going live at the time I said. This is 20 minutes later now, almost 20 minutes later, 18 minutes later. To be honest, I ain't feeling 100%, not feeling up to myself. And I was just getting myself a little bit ready. You know, I didn't feel that well. So went outside, freshened up a little bit, and now I'm here. I'm not sick because I never really get sick these days. Unless I contract some mad virus in some mad country or something, I don't really get sick, but I just don't really feel myself for a couple of days. And then the sickness goes away. Whereas when I used to get sick when I was young, when I was like unhealthy and my body was quite weak when I was young, a kid, I used to get sick and then the sickness will stay for like 3-4 days. Nowadays, I'm on the verge of getting sick, then it usually goes away. So I'm in that period at the moment. So if I'm not as high energy, apologies. But at the end of the day, I'm still here, still doing the stream, and I'm still going to give you the information that you want, which is the betting picks and predictions. So I'll get my screen up and we'll get straight into it, boys, since we wasted a little bit of time. We'll get straight into it. Fuck, I ain't feeling that good at all. Damn. All right. It's mad, you know, you don't realize how much energy these live streams actually can take from you, especially when you're doing them alone, because, like, it's just me talking at the end of the day, you know. I've got to be live. Even with the Parlay Madness, I have to be live as well. I've got to be on the ball. I've got to be writing down the bets, opening this up. Even now, I have to open up the as you can probably tell, I'm not 100%, but it's all good. All right, so we got this screen. No, we don't want that. Sorry, boys, bear with me. I'll sort it out. But yeah, shout out to everyone in here. We've got Mushroom MMA. What's up, James? You're a legend. Much respect. Appreciate you, Mushroom. Everyone go follow Mushroom MMA if you haven't. Bitcoin's laughing, probably because he's got so much money. Bitcoin laughing to the bank. What are your picks, Mushroom? Mushroom's picks are Henry via decision or round three. Denise KO, Nicolau decision. Yeah, don't mind those, to be honest. Feel like Yaya is one of those fighters who, if he does get finished, it can just come in any round because he probably just kind of half quit, you know. But I guess that Henry's more of a volume type guy that probably would beat you down for a while. I could just see that one being sticky if Henry could just finish him in round two or something. But you got to make some bets somewhere. You can't bet on every single thing, right? Unless you want to lay the minus 450 with Henry, which is a little bit of a tough ask. So yeah, I'm just presenting my screen here for you boys so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. What we want to do, Chrome tab or window. We want to do a window, right? So we go bang. And then, yeah, there we go. All right, so I'll zoom in and we'll get straight onto the main card. So, man, is that many main card fights? Is Tim Means the first fight on the main card? I tend to think that's not correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe it is. 6-fight main card. So we'll speak about Tim Means versus Uros Medic first, boys. It's funny because I feel like there may be some value on Tim Means. I mean, if he can get his grappling game going, I'll move my head down a little bit. If he can get his grappling game going, he might look like value here because we have seen Uros Medic in the past not do too well on the ground. He's obviously a striker, kickboxer by nature, so we can also assume that his submissions ain't going to be, well, not just submissions, but his grappling game, overall grappling game, isn't going to be that good. But I will say that he does have some submission wins. I could still see him winning via submission just because the way Tim Means fights. I mean, we see time and time again now, Tim Means is getting submitted. You know, Daniel Rodriguez cracked him a couple times, submitted him. Kevin Holland submitted him. We've seen time and time again this guy gets submitted. So I wouldn't be surprised if Medic, even though he doesn't have great grappling, could get some type of submission. Probably would be like a Daniel Rodriguez submission where you crack him on the feet, you wobble him, they're wobbled, then you latch up a front headlock or something like that, or maybe like a rear naked choke. Uros Medic decent fighter, kind of hard to predict in some way. You know, I bet on him versus Semelsberger, and he finished him in the third round there after almost getting finished himself. But obviously, if you go back and watch that fight, he basically bossed the fight for the most part, except for the early round when he got dropped a couple of times, right? So he did kind of boss that fight for the most part. You know, I feel like that was a good performance from him. He was a 180 underdog there. I played him in that fight. In that Omar Morales fight, you know, I was surprised to see him win there, because coming off that Jalen Turner fight, I didn't think he was that good. I thought it was like a round one mean merchant, because obviously, you know, as soon as the fight got past 2 minutes, the guy just crumbled basically. But he impressed me a little bit in the Morales fight, getting the win into the second round. It shows me that he's not a round one mean merchant as to what I thought he was pre-fight. And then obviously Semelsberger finishing in round three, that's definitely a solid look. And, you know, losing to Murtabek Orhobai, I mean, that means nothing, because this Orhobai seems like a fucking beast, man. He's got a good fight coming up with Elvis Brenner. You know, he's a big favorite in that spot. And I know why, but fucking hell, he's a beast, this dude, man. Who's this guy who actually beat him? Another undefeated guy. I always like to look at that. You know, when fighters I rate have been beat by someone, I like to look at who they are. Because obviously they're probably good if they're beating someone I rate. And I definitely rate Orhobai. So for this dude to beat him, and he's all still 13-0, probably a decent fighter. But anyway, we get back to the fight. I don't take much away from Medic's losses, if we're being fully honest. Like, at the end of the day, he's got two losses in his entire career, and they're to Jalen Turner in round one. I mean, we know that guy in round one is a ridiculous fighter, right? And then we got Orhobai, which probably is going to be ranked in the UFC by the end of this year. I mean, I really think Orhobai is a force to be reckoned with. Very good fight against Brenner. So I don't take much away from him for those losses. And every other fight he's won. So I can't really say that he's going to lose to Tim Means. I don't think he's going to lose to Tim Means. Like I said, Tim Means potentially could look some type of value if he gets some grappling game going based on what we've seen on the ground. But then again, we've seen some deficiencies on the ground against who? Jalen Turner, who that guy can sub you in round, that can guy do anything to you in round one. And he just got hurt on the feet there and then got taken down. And then Murtabek Orhobai, where this guy's like an elite ground player, at least an elite grappler, whether you want to say he's elite in the wrestling or just a pressure game, whatever it may be. MMA grappling, he seems fairly elite, man. Not even like good, he seems fairly elite. So again, we don't really know if this guy's got no ground game. I suspect Tim Means to have some type of better ground game overall, but it's weird because I feel like Medic is more likely to get the sub in this spot. I really do. And, you know, my man Christian's saying that Medic sub is 700. It ain't bad. The thing is, the guy's just going to crack. Tim Means, yes, I know he's been sub multiple times, but again, like I mentioned, in the fight against Daniel Rodriguez, he was hurt before he was subbed. So that's kind of a knockout. I mean, you could have called that a knockout on another day. He just decided to guillotine him from standing, right? I do think one of these days he's probably going to get knocked out again and people are going to be on, maybe be on the sub, because everyone thinks Tim Means can only be subbed and he'll probably just get knocked out. So I wouldn't be surprised if Medic knocks him out here. Obviously, that is the method of victory I will pick. And that's actually the overall pick of mine for this fight. Uros Medic via KO. I think that, man, I just think he hits too hard and he's too fast, and I don't think Means is going to be able to deal with the striking offense at his age, coming off a good win, but he ain't going to keep getting wins at 40 years of age, man. So, yeah, I think Medic is going to finish him, and I think it's probably going to be by KO. But what are they giving us for KO, fellas? Like, if they ain't giving us nothing for KO, then I probably wouldn't play KO. I'd probably just play submission. And I mean, if you go back and look at, but let me check the KO first. I don't want to be speaking about the submission because I don't think he's going to sub him. I think he's going to knock him out. But I know that the KO is going to be shit. I haven't looked at it personally, but I know it's not going to be good. KO is minus 115 and submission is 700. So at that point, boys, you've got to play the sub if you're going to play anything. So yeah, man, I don't mind Medic sub. And, you know, just looking at his career now, he's been subbed a lot, man. Matt Brown subbed him in round one. Alex Oliveira subbed him in round two. Nico Price knocked him out in round one. Daniel Rodriguez subbed him in round two. Kevin Holland subbed him in round two. Alex Morono subbed him in round two. So he's been subbed a lot. He's been subbed in round two a lot. So, yeah, in terms of value and that, line movers saying it, you know, right here. He took sub 850 just because of Means not Medic. Means always gets subbed. Maybe mushed though by Father. Yeah, man. I agree. Lock of the Night is okay. Just kind of fucked up. That's not actually... Yeah, I agree, man. He seemed like a nice guy, but he just fucked up with the money stuff. Doesn't matter at the end of the day if you're a nice guy or a bad guy. If you fuck with people's money, that's going to happen to you. That ain't actually Lock of the Night's... That ain't his real thing, though, but I'll give him his shine because he obviously wants. He's behind the burner. Yeah, that's definitely not him. Boys, like, if I'll just give you some advice. Like, if he actually wanted to say this to me, he wouldn't say it live on the show. He'd just fucking DM me, right? But anyway, Daniel Rodriguez ain't a sub guy at all. No, he's not a sub guy. And he still got the sub because Tim Means, once he gets hurt, he just kind of fucking panics. And Daniel just jumped on the sub because it's an easy sub to finish. So, yeah, I don't mind the submission for a value play, boys. I don't mind submission round two for a value play. But I am predicting Uros Medic to win inside the distance here. And I wish the line was a bit better because I would probably play it here. But it's not. So we move. And I actually do want to write the submission down just in case I decide to play it myself personally. So I'm going to write that down right now. Plus submission and submission round two. I'll check round one and round two. Yeah, that's it, boys. We'll move on to the next one. My man Bitcoin, he's still laughing. He's still laughing his way to the bank because he just got so much money. Dean saying, what's up, James? Feel better. I appreciate that, brother. I'm all right. I'm just not 100%. You know how it goes, boys, when you just ain't feeling yourself too much. But, boys, I've got to come and give the breakdowns to the people. I know we've been on a bit of a cold run lately. And that's an understatement. We've been on an ice cold run lately. Let me not understate it. We've been on an ice cold run lately, but we still up 19 units on the year and we ain't going to run cold forever, just like we ain't going to run hot forever. So you already know we about to start the hot run soon. And I'm liking it to start this card, boys. I'm liking it to start this card. Line mover saying, James, I'm on like 50 sub props this card. Bro, It sounds about right. It sounds about right. Your boy has gone mad. You ain't gone mad, bro. You've been mad. You ain't gone mad. You've gone mad long time ago. Long time before I knew you, bro. It's all love. Bitcoin saying, I still can't believe I hit the $50 to 160 parlay. Holler up. Show them slips, boy. I want to see that. $50 to 160K? Oh, you know what? This might be my man Adam, you know? I think this is my man Adam. But your name's Bitcoin. Because you showed me that slip where it was... No, that was like $5 to like 130K or something. Is that Adam? I don't know. Oh, it is my man Adam. Okay, maybe it was 50 to 160. Yeah, boys, shout out to my man Adam, Bitcoin. He turned $50 into 160K. I've seen the slip. I thought it was like 5 to 120, but everyone stole it and posted it. Yeah, I've seen the slip. That was some crazy shit. He had like Holloway round 5 at like 50 to 1. And then like some fucking minus 400 favorite in the same parlay. And then a couple of other solid bets like Alex Pereira KO and stuff like that. But man, that was mad. But yeah, we'll get back to the stream, boys. What we got? Jonathan Pierce versus David Onama. Like, this is a banger of a fight. This is probably the best fight on the card. Like, this is a better fight than the main event. This is definitely a better fight than the main event. Who's more excited for the main event than Jonathan Pierce versus David Onama? Don't come at me and say that, because I don't think you are. Is this a real tattoo on Jonathan Pierce's chest? That's horrific. That don't even look like Jonathan Pierce, man. He's changed a lot since then. That don't look like Jonathan Pierce at all. You know, I'm gonna be completely transparent now. When David Onama first came on the scene, I thought he was a fraud, you know. And maybe someone one day will clip this and send it to him and that, and he's gonna get mad. But I'm just have to be honest. When I was doing my tape study, I didn't think he was good. Obviously, he'd won every single fight on the amateurs and then every single fight on the professional ranks coming into the UFC. So I didn't think he was a terrible fighter. I thought that if he doesn't get you out of there early, you're probably just going to get fucked up. But, you know, that was shown to not be the case because, okay, all of his finishes have still come inside the distance, but he's shown me a lot. Like, even in that Nate Landwehr fight, man, I know he kind of dropped the bag there, but he still was fighting in round three, man. He rocked Landwehr again in round three. Like, he was still fighting a lot. Even in the, you know, Gabriel Santos fight, he finishes him in round two. So it's clear now that David Onama is not just a decent fighter, but a very good fighter, man. A very good UFC level fighter. And I think he's going to do, I'm going to say big things, but I think he's going to do a lot in MMA and in the UFC. And he has already. He's got two solid wins. Well, he's got one solid win against Gabriel Santos. I rate that win very highly because I think Santos is a very good fighter. I do think he kind of pulled that win out of his ass. He was kind of getting fucked up and just found a massive KO. But the thing is, his style lends himself to finding a massive KO. And it's not easy to grapple him. I know Mason Jones grappled him, but that was short notice, upper weight class, on his UFC debut. And man, if that was another fighter, he probably would have knocked him out. Mason Jones just has a crazy chin. So David Onama, very hard to grapple because of how strong he is. And then he fucking hits hard on the feet and he knows how to land his shots. He picks his shots well. He can time his shots well. And he's going to land a lot of his shots. And if he lands on you, you might just be going to sleep, man. So, yeah, man, I think David Onama is a very good fighter. I was completely wrong on him coming in. And then we go to JSP. Again, a very good fighter. I bet on JSP in his last fight against Joanderson Brito. I think I played JSP at like minus 130. And, man, I was kind of pissed off when that missed because I was like, damn, I thought we had him there. I thought that was a great bet. And then I rewatched it. And I have to be honest, you know, like I kind of feel like the same, you know, rewatching it. Because obviously after the fight, if you bet on a fighter and they lost, you may be a bit biased, right? No one's immune to it. So when I was rewatching this fight this week, you know, for this fight, when I was tape studying JSP, I said to myself, like, okay, let me go back and watch that Brito fight because I was proper pissed. Well, not pissed off, but I was basically saying that it was a great bet after the fight. But let me actually go and watch it. Maybe I was just being a bit biased. But then I watched it again and I was like, nah, JSP is kind of a great bet. Like, yeah, I still feel the same way. It was a good bet at minus 130. I mean, I guess Brito's always got some, you know, finishing upside and maybe I'm not capping that in well enough, but JSP was kind of having his way with him for the most part. He was having his way so much, he started to take the piss out of him verbally. He started to say, you know, get up, do something, get up and do something. And fucking hell, Brito got up and did something for sure, man. He got murked. And when exactly was that? Because if I'm not mistaken, yeah, there wasn't long left in round two, man. There was like a minute left in round two. And he would have been going into the fight 2-0 up. Brito's basically done at that point. His cardio's gone like fucking hell. But anyway, that happens. So this is a good fight, boys. Both fighters are legit. JSP is going to come with that grinding, gritty wrestling pace. And we've seen David Onama taken down multiple times. We've seen him grappled a couple of times. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if JSP gets his grappling going here. I think he'll get his grappling going here. But I don't think Pierce is going to hurt him on the feet. I don't think Pierce is going to wobble him on the feet. So he's going to just need to grapple him for 15 minutes. I don't think he can grapple him for 15 minutes, man. I think 100% David Onama is going to get back to his feet, right? And I think when he gets back to his feet, he's going to land some heavy, heavy punishment on the feet on JSP. JSP's striking defense is still not there. I could definitely see Onama knocking him out here. And even if he doesn't knock him out, he's still going to get... He's still going to hurt JSP. Like, does anyone really think this is going to be a 15-minute fight where JSP doesn't get hurt? I don't see it, man. Unless JSP subs him in round one, which I'm super, super... not surprised. I'll be super, super surprised to see. I think that there's going to be moments on the feet, and I think Onama's going to capitalize on those moments, man. I really do. Obviously, it's a close fight. Obviously, both fighters have chances to win. Obviously, both fighters have holes that the other fighter does well. Onama with the grappling, JSP with the striking. And, you know, like Dean saying, classic striker versus wrestler matchup. I feel like the majority of these fights are who will show up. I just think at the current odds, Onama is the clear side. I don't think you can bet JSP at minus 180. I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible. Minus 175 on Bet Online, actually. It was minus 180 yesterday, moved to minus 170, then moved to minus 175 again. So seems like people are liking JSP at minus 170. They put some money on him. Onama for your mama, for the monies. And I think Onama's got a good chance to win this fight, boys. So, yeah, most certainly I'm going to say David Onama is the side as the underdog. But I do think JSP is going to have a lot of success in this fight. And I do think he's probably going to be winning it till he's not. Now, it doesn't mean Onama needs a KO, but it does mean that JSP is going to be winning it until he gets hurt. And if he doesn't get finished, he probably loses the round based on being hurt. But he was winning it up until he got hurt. Whereas I think David Onama is going to be losing the fight up until he's winning it. You know, so Pierce has the overall 15-minute game that I'd, you know, like a bit more. Pierce has the overall wrestling upside that you can bank on a little bit more than big moments, big shots. But I think fighting a guy like Onama, who's built his entire career around big moments, I think you can bank on him a little bit more. So, I'll go with David Onama. I'll go with David Onama outright. Next fight is Yonata Diniz. And we'll answer Matt's Norton question. So someone else asked me this. Actually, he didn't ask me this. Someone said this on Twitter yesterday, and I had to block him. Was talking shit, saying, oh, you made a terrible bet on Jamahal Hill, and you con people out of UFC 300 tickets. Coop C. Duck won UFC 300 tickets. And I did a live on Instagram. It was someone who followed me called Coop C. Duck. And I'm actually going to be going live with him on Instagram soon, but the draw was done live on Instagram. Hundreds of people were there for the draw. You watch live. So don't believe everything you read on the internet. People make things up because they're jealous of me. They dislike me, and they're jealous of people who are above them, jealous of the success. So they make things up, like I conned people out of UFC 300 tickets. Complete lie. The person who won it is on my Instagram right now. You can go and check. So, but I'll also be going live with them pretty soon because there's a funny story that I want to address with the guy who won the ticket. So tune in for that. And don't believe everything you read on the internet, man. Like Dean said, haters gonna hate, bro. Like, don't believe everything you read on the internet. I'll just tell you that now. This is an internet world we live in, and people can just type whatever they want with no repercussions. So you shouldn't believe those type of people. So the next fight, we got Yonata Diniz versus Austin Lane. I ain't got too much to say about this. What can I say? This Diniz seems like he's got good striking. He's got a kickboxing background. I like the way he fights. Obviously, the guy's a knockout artist, early knockout artist. I think he's going to knock out Austin Lane here. I mean, there's nothing much more to say about this one. Okay, maybe Lane can get a takedown here. Maybe he can do some grappling because Deniz obviously has got a deficiency in the grappling. But, man, I don't really have much of a prediction for this one, boys. I think, I think Lane's going to get knocked out for what is this going to be? Like the third time in round one? Yeah, I think he's going to get knocked out. I don't even have Twitter or Instagram, sorry. Well, you saw it somewhere, bro. I don't believe you just made that off the top of your head. Especially when someone said that to me yesterday. Who does tape for you? Nobody. I do tape for myself. Why would you say someone does tape for me? Now, I work with people. I have people in my network who I speak about fights with. I speak about fights with people. And we go back and forth. And we come to agreements. I speak about fights with a lot of people, actually. But I do tape myself, bro. And that's it. Karine Silva versus Ariane Lipski. Yes, yeah, so that, you know, the last one's a quick one, boys. By the way, pure prediction, I'm choosing Deniz by KO, if you didn't know. Now, this fight is a lot more interesting than the last fight. I actually think that Karine Silva is the side. I think that Karine Silva has more of a chance to finish. I think that Karine Silva is improving. And I think that Ariane Lipski has shown time and time again that she has a good performance and then she has a shit performance. She has a good performance and then she has a shit performance. And she had a good performance last time. And I bet her last time against Casey O'Neill. I bet her against Casey O'Neill at, what was it, plus one? I don't know what it was. It was definitely plus money and it was decent plus money. Plus 160, around that range, boys, I bet her. And she looked good, but I don't know, man. She almost got reversed there on the ground. She tried to do a rear naked choke after she was pounding away. All she needed to do was carry on pounding away. And she tried to do a rear naked choke. And then she got reversed. But luckily, as she gets reversed, she does the armbar, which obviously that's what happens. You know, if your opponent's turning into you, you can always go for the armbar if you lose the back. And that's what she did. If she didn't get that armbar, she's now on bottom and Casey O'Neill maybe is going to work. So even in that performance, maybe she didn't, you know, I don't know. Like even in that performance, it's not. She still made a decision that I didn't necessarily love. But obviously she looked good in that fight. She fucked her up on the feet and then she submitted her. So we can't say much. But like, you know, she has a good performance against Luana Carolina. I mean, I guess you could say it's a knee bar early, right? And then she just gets finished by Antonina Shevchenko on the ground, which is terrible. Antonina Shevchenko is absolutely terrible. I mean, a loss to Antonina Shevchenko on the ground is I don't know, can we even give her a pass for that, boys? I know she's hot in everyone's head now because she's on a free fight win streak where she's looked good in all three fights. And to be honest, I do think she's improved. Like, I do think she's improved. But I think sooner rather than later, we're going to see one of these poor performances from Ariane Lipski again. She gets blasted out by Priscilla in round one, finished on the ground by these two girls. I mean, it's kind of just been up and down her career so far. And yes, she's on a free fight win streak. Yes, she's looked good in all of those fights. I don't think it's going to continue. And she's coming up against someone who hits hard, as we saw in the last fight against Marina Moroz, who's very, very opportunistic with her finishing, who finishes almost everybody she's ever fought. And I just feel like she's going to finish her. I feel like she's going to get another finish here. You know, if the fight goes deep into the late rounds, then, you know, probably Ariane Lipski is going to have some upside. And my man Dan Half the Battle saying, want company down to speak about. Of course, man, I'd love company from the OG himself, Dan, if that is really Dan, because someone was trying to impersonate MMA Lock of the Night earlier. But if that is actually Dan, yeah, okay, that definitely is Dan. So I'm going to get Dan in right now. So let me just, I'll just send you the link now, bro. But yeah, just finishing off about Lipsky. If it gets into round two, round three, probably she's going to start to take over to some degree. But also, we don't know. Like, I haven't seen Karine Silva's cardio for a long time. Although the last time she did go to decision, she lost it. So that's obviously not a good. That's obviously not a good look. Overall, I'm going to pick Karine Silva. You know, I think Karine Silva has too much upside to finish. And Ariane Lipsky's been finished so many times now. She got finished against Priscilla. She got finished against Montana. Finished against Antonina. She went to decision against Molly, which is kind of crazy because Molly's a bit of a finisher. I mean, you get finished by Antonina Shevchenko and Montana De La Rosa, but not Molly McCann. But that's just women's MMA for you. But she's been finished multiple times, even going back to her early days. And I definitely think she can be finished again. And I think that I think she will be finished again. So I'm picking Karine Silva here. I wouldn't play Karine Silva's money line at Juice just because she probably is banking on a finish. She probably is banking on an ITD win. And we have seen Lipsky improve recently. So for that reason, I wouldn't lay any juice on her. But I am going to predict her to win. And I would like to look at some submission prop, some inside the distance prop, if I can get some decent plus money, maybe moderate plus money. Maybe if they give me ITD for, I don't know, maybe like, I might, you know what, round one, round two might be a good play rather than ITD, because I don't think she'll finish her in round three. It's not impossible, but I don't think she'll finish her in round three. So kind of looking at the round one, round two props for Silva. And I'm actually going to write that down now as a potential bet for myself. Silva, round one plus round two. And maybe I look at the round one, two sub. Round one or round two sub as well, just to make it a bit more juicy. Because that's how I feel she does it 80% of the time they fight. And she's a favorite. So, yeah, I'll look at those props personally, but I wouldn't be laying juice on him, on her. I got ChatGPT saying Karine Silva wins because she has better ground game. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of saying that as well, man. So maybe I'm ChatGPT. Caught an early play on Silva. Nice. Did you get her at underdog odds? Because I know she was underdog and for a while. And then like Bulo saying, the line was pick 'em last week. Yeah, it was. Christian saying this would actually be the fifth first round KO loss for Lane. Oh, yeah. Okay, what did I say? The fourth one. Yeah, so that's the fifth one. Interesting. Yeah, I think it's going to happen again, man. It seems like an obvious spot. It's like they brought Despain in the other day and they just gave him a fight where like, yeah, you're going to knock this dude out. And I feel like they're doing the same thing here. If we could only bet on looks. I know, man. If we could bet on looks, I'd be betting on Karine Silva all day, my man. You know what I'm saying? Clay likes Karine Silva out here. But we can't be doing that. Dean's saying, Jorge saying, let's fucking win this weekend. You already know. Good to be back after a week off. Yes, my man, Blunt Force, for sure. Good to be back. Pick'em, wish I had underdogs. Yeah. Oh, well, is what it is. Pick'em is still a decent price based on where the line's at. You still got a little bit of CLV. So, yeah, next fight we're going to speak about is Ryan Spann versus Bogdan Guskov. This is a good fight. Hilarious fight. Something crazy is going to happen in this fight. I don't know what's going to happen in this fight. All I know is it's going to be crazy. And maybe my man has a better prediction on what craziness we see. I'm going to bring him in right now. You already know him. I don't need to introduce him. The OG, Dan Levy. What's going on, brother?
Chilling, man. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, mate. Thanks for coming in, man. Was you just watching the stream and you thought, fuck it, let's speak some fights?
Yeah, I was just chilling out. Just watched the Braves win and I was like, shit. Might as well talk about some fights with James. You know, I appreciate you hitting me up about the OG episode. Yeah, man, UFC 300 was just a big clusterfuck. So glad to hang out here.
Yeah, that was good, man. I wanted to do the OG episode. I did it like super late notice. And I know I was hitting you up super late every day. You're probably like, bro, give me some notice, man. This guy's just messaging me every day like 10 minutes before. But last week I crammed everything in at once and it was just tough, man. But we'll definitely get you on the next one. Well, do you mean clusterfuck as in your betting results didn't go well?
Well, that in addition, you know, but like on my show, I had like a different guest for like every fight. So like organizing that and then editing that, it was just a not trying to make any excuses or anything, but it was just it took a lot out of me. So I was just trying to chill the rest of the week and not do anything else.
That was an epic show, man. And you got a lot of love for that one as well. I was watching the comments. Everyone was saying like it was great and that. So it must have felt good to have a show like that one, bro.
Yeah, bro. For sure. For sure. Give me one sec because on my TV, I can actually hear us talk. So I'm going to go turn us down and I'll be right back. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'll just break down Ryan Spann versus Bogdan Guskov. So these guys have already fought twice and now they're fighting again. So it's the trilogy fight. Obviously, Guskov won the first two fights. The first fight he won inside the distance. All right. I'm just fucking around. They obviously haven't fought before, but, you know, this is the Anthony Smith lookalike where everyone says, this guy looks exactly like Anthony Smith if we get him up right now. I mean, Jesus Christ. He doesn't fight like Anthony Smith. This guy seems like he's got a lot more power than Anthony Smith. Although Anthony Smith looked like he had a lot of power when he fought Ryan Spann that first time because he was just knocking him all over the octagon before he got the submission win. And, you know, a few people messaged me saying, well, I'm not going to say him specifically, but one person messaged me saying Guskov submission because Ryan Spann puts himself in submissions and he's going to look like a genius if Guskov gets a submission because I don't think there's much upside from him getting a submission. But he has been submitted multiple times. But let's be honest, in that Anthony Smith fight, he got knocked out about three times before Smith finally submitted him. That was basically a knockout, kind of like the Tim Means fight, you know, against Daniel Rodriguez. It was basically a knockout. He just ended up finishing with a submission. But this is a weird fight for me. Like, you can't trust Ryan Spann at minus 200 because, yes, he's got a lot of power. Yes, he's got a very, very good guillotine. You know, he seems to hit that on a lot of guys. I actually bet him round one sub against Kutalaba. And it went exactly as I predicted. That was like plus 1,000, I think. Or even submission alone was like plus 800. It was crazy. Obviously, the bookies have wised up to that a little bit now since he's got some guillotines after that. But I think that he's not the type of guy that you want to bet at minus 200. If anything, you play Guskov here. If anything, you play Guskov round one KO here. I bet on Guskov to win in via round one KO in his last fight against Zach Pauger. I actually played the fight. Like I played Pauger round 2-3, Guskov round 1-2, round 1 KO. And that panned out well for me. I made like half a unit profit or something like that. I think Guskov can get a round 1 knockout again here. I really do. Outright prediction, I don't really know, to be honest, man. This is not a confident read. For me, it's kind of coming close to 50-50. I'm going to lean Spann. I'd say Spann should be minus 130 because he's got submission upside as well as knockout upside. And he's probably got the better gas tank from what I've seen, although I don't really know where Guskov's gas tank's at because we haven't seen it in a while. And obviously, he's got much more experience in the game, much more UFC experience. So I'll go with Spann. But man, Guskov's the side. If you're going to bet anything, you bet Guskov. And I might actually end up with a round one play on Guskov or a round one, round two KO play or a KO play or something. So that's my prediction. Dan, are you seeing this the same as me or you think a bit different?
I mean, it's just super volatile, you know, we're talking about Ryan Spann and Bogdan Guskov. I mean, what else needs to be said, James, you know? Ryan Spann, people will often mention that he's been knocked out three times, but what they'll fail to mention is that he's been knocked out three times the exact same way, James. I'm talking about on a takedown attempt with Travis Brown elbows three separate times, my man. And if you go to that Johnny Walker fight, because, you know, he like hurt Johnny Walker early in the fight and then he ends up doing what, you know, it's cost him those three knockout losses. And you can hear Saif Saud in the corner, like before, like Johnny Walker's even landing the elbows to the ear or whatever, or back of the head, whatever you want to call it. Before he's in that position where he's been knocked out before more than once, you can hear coach Saif Saud like, get out of there. Because he knew right away, like that's Ryan Spann's big time weak point. The thing about Ryan is like, he's ultra talented. I mean, the guy has ridiculous athleticism. He's big for the weight class. He's got one hitter quitter. He's got a nasty jab. His guillotine, big fan of his guillotine. He's experienced. So, like, there's a lot to like. It's just he's one of those guys we like to refer to as a talented flake. If I had the video game controller for Ryan Spann, he would be a world champion right now. If I had the video game controller for Alexander Rakic, he'd also be a world champion right now, you know, but we don't. So Ryan Spann, he's the kind of guy, like, he's a top 10 guy in the UFC, and like his social media accounts are on like private and stuff. You understand what I'm saying? So like the athleticism there, but the mental side of things, I just don't think is quite there. And then with Bogdan, listen, he's a young kid, so he's going to be making improvements. I think he's a bit on the smaller side, but people compare him to Anthony Smith because of how he looks, but he fights completely different than Anthony Smith. This guy will be switching his stances. He throws punches from awkward angles, and he's got that one-hitter quitter. But with his style, he does go balls to the wall. So, you know, as a result, he's going to leave openings, and he can be clipped as well. So this is just one of those fights where, unless these guys are timid for whatever reason, someone's probably going to hit the deck, James Blissett. I mean, like, these two are going to stand and bang until one man falls. I do lean with Span, but again, lean with Span does not mean minus 225. Lean with Span does not mean minus 250. So, and then Bogdan, I'm still kind of like, you know, to like when they talk about Peter Yan in round one, I'm still gathering data, you know, I'm still making my reads on Bogdan. Right. I'm still not quite sure where this kid's at, but I'm keeping an open mind. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Just hearing you say that, you know, I agree with everything. And the line's probably going to be decent for like a round one KO or something like that. So, I mean, if they give me round one KO, just like they did in their last fight, they gave me round one KO against Palger at plus 240. Now, a lot of people, they would never dream of playing a plus 240, a round one KO, because it all comes down to your betting style, right? But if they give me something like that against Ryan Spann, who I've seen been knocked out in round one multiple times, and although I don't really predict the Bogdan Guskov elbow against the fence on a takedown, I still think that he can knock this guy out, man. I don't trust Span's chin. Yeah, they're giving me plus 215 for a KO. I don't know if everyone can see that, but they're giving me plus 215 for a KO outright. So, I mean, KO round one, you're talking like probably 500 somewhere, Dan, you know, 450 or something. So if that's the case, I'm definitely going to, I'm definitely going to be playing Bogdan KO. So we'll move on to the next fight now. Main event. But first, should we leave this one for the end? Because I know Dan wanted to speak about the Mahashate fight. And you know what? I'll just do a breakdown for that now, because I wasn't going to, because I just usually do the... where are we at? I just usually do the main cards. But Dan wants to speak about this one, I think. So you're back now, bro. Take this away if you're back.
I am back. This is a really interesting fight because Mahashate is just a kid. Like, he comes into the UFC, what, 21, 22. They're trying to develop these Chinese prospects. He's, I believe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the first ever male Chinese fighter signed from Contender Series. So, you know, that they've been trying to develop that market for a long time. And, you know, we had the two Chinese women in the main in the co-main event last week, you know, two amazing fighters. We got guys like Song Yadong coming along. So the scene is emerging. This kid, what he has for a lightweight, he's massive for the weight class. He's 6 feet tall at 155 pounds. They say the reach is only 71. I'm not exactly sure if that's really the case, but either way, he fights long. Obviously, you know, with a tall guy, he's going to have a bit of that tall man defense, and he did get caught his last fight. But what you got to understand about that last fight was that he was in there with a seasoned kickboxer, and, like, they were banging it out, man. Let's not act like that was a one-sided fight by any means, and let's not also act like the kid pulled a stunt or the kid quit or, like, the shot that he got put down with. Dude, like, Slava would have, like, knocked out a rhino or a horse with that shot, dude. That shot was ridiculous. It sent him flying, man. So, I mean, and prior to that, he was busting up Slava at points in that fight. So that was like a really good competitive striking fight. The Rafa fight, you know, that's what we like to refer to as the vet lesson, but there was a lot of wrestling involved in that fight. And Mogi Benitez, he's been in the UFC, what, over 10 years, and he averages less than 0.25 takedowns for 15 minutes. So you don't have to worry about him coming out here and trying to put on a wrestling clinic. What Gabriel likes to do is he fights from the southpaw stance. He's got nasty kicks. His hands are on point, and he likes to go toe to toe. He's a Mexican warrior, and he lives by the sword and dies by the sword. And Saturday night, I think he's gonna die by the sword, man. And one fight that I'll reference is the Mahashate versus Steve Garcia fight. Reason being is that's the last time that he was in there against the southpaw. And that pull right hand counter, the same shot that Sodiq knocked out Gabriel with, and also the head kick that he was that Mahesate was throwing against Slava, like, dude, I think that shot is going to be there. Same shot that Andre Feely knocked out Gabriel with. I just feel like the early going, they're going to be banging it out a little bit. But at some point, like Mahesate, when he lands his shots, Gabriel just doesn't take it like he used to, man. Pull up the David Onama fight. Look at his form in that fight. Like, he actually looks really good at points in that Onama fight. And the thing about Onama is, like, Onama is able to bail himself out with insane athleticism and insane heart. Because technique-wise, I mean, his techniques ain't bad by any means, but, like, he'll get his ass kicked in a lot of fights, like the Mason Jones fight, like even most recently against Gabriel Santos, right? You remember how, like, Gabriel Santos had a lot of moments in that fight. Lots of dudes have lots of moments against Onama, including Gabriel Benitez. But Onama, man, the dude's got insane heart, and the dude's got insane physical tools. He's able to bail himself out. And that happened when he fought Gabriel Benitez, man. Like, Gabriel was looking good early, and then he got deaded in a way where he, like, he tin man, but then he went face first, and it was a scary sight. And I don't think he's looked the same since. Like, let's not even talk about the fight against what's the name of the kid, the Ontiveros guy. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah. we don't need to mention stuff like that. Like, that's like beating up a regional. Like, yeah. Like who cares? Like, great. Like, and if you're a UFC roster fighter, you'll beat that guy. So basically, I see Gabriel as he's a gatekeeper to the entry level of the UFC. If you belong in the UFC, you will beat Gabriel. If you do not belong in the UFC, you will not beat Gabriel. And I think that Mahesate, only being 24, like, he's going to be making big improvements every single fight. And take away all that talk, just back to the stylistics. Orthodox versus southpaw. Like, dude, you know the right hand is the big weapon for an orthodox fighter against a southpaw, especially with the size difference here. I think that Gabriel is the perfect height for a high kick, for a straight down the middle, for a knee up the middle, for an uppercut. I'm going to call it right now, James. I think it's going to be a right side shot KO by Mahesate. My gut says it's a right hand, but it could be a right head kick. It could be a knee, but I'm telling you right now, James, right side shot KO Mahesate. Book it.
Yeah, I'm completely with you, man. I think that Mahesate is going to knock him out. I mean, I know you bet David Onama against Gabriel Benitez, and that was kind of before, I'm not going to say the downtrend, but it kind of was the start of everybody understanding, everybody realizing that, okay, Benitez probably can't handle the shots the way he once used to. Like in that Omar Morales fight, you know, he was taking a lot of shots in that fight. That was a great 15-minute war. I don't think he could do that today. And that Onama fight kind of proved it. And shout out to you, because that was a sharp bet of plus money. I bet on Gabriel Benitez there, and he obviously got slept in that fight. And I think the exact same thing is going to happen in this fight. I do think he'll look good. I think he'll land a body kick like he does against everybody he's ever fought. And it will sound really, really hard. And everyone who bet on Mahesate, unless they know the way the fight's going to go, you know, whoever's bet on Mahesate in their parlays and don't really know these two fighters are going to think, fuck, I made the wrong bet. And then it's going to be like 2 minutes later, he's just going to be unconscious on the ground and it's not going to look good. It's probably one of my most confident takes on the entire card that Mahesate is going to get a knockout. And I think you feel the same. So we're seeing the fight completely the same. I don't want to rehash exactly what you said. I fully agree with you, bro. I think it's going to be a bad night for Gabriel Benitez. And I don't like to say fighters should retire, but I feel like Gabriel Benitez should kind of retire now. Like, let me see how old he is.
It was funny because his last fight against Jim Miller, you know, he was the guy that was like 5 years younger. You know, he's 35 and Jim's 40. So, you know. And dude, he looked like the older guy in there. Like, and you see Jim's last fight against Bobby, where like we got back to reality, where, you know, Jim was on a little win streak against soft competition. So now he got his chance to see, hey, if at 40 years old, can you enter the top 15? Because, you know, Bobby is a top 15 fighter, and you just saw the level difference. And speaking of levels, then you go back and you see the levels between Jim and Gabriel. And it's back to what I was saying, man. Gabriel is a gatekeeper to entry level UFC fighters. Yeah, like keep up the Tapology page here. Let's look through every single win he's got. So Charlie Ontiveros does not belong in the UFC. Every single guy he's losing to belongs in the UFC. Justin James does not belong in the UFC. Humberto Bandinai does not belong in the UFC. Jason Knight, I love me some Jason Knight, so I'm not going to talk shit. Sam Cecilia, you know, washed out. Clay Collard, I mean, he washed out at the time. But this is the funny thing. I feel like they've been giving Gabriel prospects to test throughout his entire career. He's a prospect tester. Clay Collard was the prospect at the time. He was like 22 back then. He didn't become a star until he got into PFL. Like, he got into the UFC way too early. I say that, but look at his record at the time, bro. He was like 14-5. Like, Clay Collard's been fighting since he was a teenager. Holy shit. Because look at the date on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, yeah. At this point, I'm going to be rehashing myself. But if you do not belong in the UFC, Gabriel Benitez is going to expose that. And if you do belong... I mean, you're probably going to beat him. I mean, he's going to have moments. He's tough. He's experienced. He's been in the game a long ass time. Like, there's no shit to talk about him. It's just that he doesn't beat guys that belong. And stylistically speaking, I think the right side shots are going to be a big problem here, bro. So let's get it.
Yeah. 2014, he came into the UFC, man. He's been in the UFC for 10 years. And by the time they fight, it's going to literally almost be 10 years on the dot. 22nd of May, and they're basically fighting 22nd of April 2024. So 10 years into the game is too late. I bet on Jim Miller against him, and damn, I didn't expect it to look that easy. Jim Miller was won every round. Jim Miller was 2-0 up into the third round, and he got a finish in the third round. Even on Jim's best day, he doesn't do that, you know. So I think that just shows you the writing's on the wall. He's going to get finished here, but it's going to be upsetting, man, unless I cash some money on it, which I probably will, man. So do you have a bet on it yourself, Dan? Because I feel like we need to be playing this.
Not at the moment. I haven't bet anything this card, but that's something that I'm certainly eyeing.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you only play money lines?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. I mean, you know, I'm open-minded as well. You know, it's always good to evolve and stuff like that. But I was always under the mindset of, like, with props and stuff, because back in the day, it was only, like, $100 limits. And you know, times have changed big time. Like, dudes are out here making bank off props. So, you know, sometimes you just got to get with the times and adapt. Because back in the day, like, we'd laugh at prop bettors, bro. Like, but now prop bettors are fucking going off, dude. So, you know.
Yeah.
Adapt or die.
Yes, sir. So, this is a good fight, man. Main event. I said that the main, like, you got here just after the JSP Onama fight. And maybe we can get a quick take on that maybe after we wrap up this main event. Because I said about that fight, that's the main event. Like, for me anyway, David Onama versus JSP, that's the main event for me this weekend. Of course, man, Perez and Nicolau is a good fight. And flyweight is my way. And I know you like the flyweights too. Like, we really both love flyweight. But that JSP and Onama fight, that's really what I'm looking at as the main event. But the actual main event is still a good fight. Nicolau versus Perez. I really like the Perez's getting back in there so early after that Makhachev fight. Because, I mean, you don't need me to tell you, but if we just open up his record here, this dude has got, like, the worst run in UFC history. I think in UFC history, Dan, of cancelled fights. I mean, I've never gone onto a Tapology page and seen this much gray. It's not existed. I've never seen it. And then the two times he does fight in this four-year period of where he's getting every single fight cancelled, he fights Pantoja and Davison Figueiredo. So, I mean, not only are you getting all your fights cancelled, you're also getting no chance to win because you're fighting literally the best of the best. And, you know, it's funny because I actually bet him as a slight underdog against Pantoja, and I just look like a complete moron now, especially with what Pantoja's gone on to do and what he did in that fight. But, you know, I guess that's why the game is always good, man, because you never actually know. But, yeah, man, he's had such a tough time with getting these fights. He's pulled out sometimes, they've pulled out sometimes, but now he's finally got back in the octagon just last month in March. I think that's the 2nd of March there. And, well, that might be the 3rd of February. I don't know. You Americans do it backwards, man. So it always confuses me on Tapology. But anyway, not long ago, he fought Muhammad Makhachev, and now he's getting back in the fight 2-3 months later, which I think is going to be really good for him. I think that means he's going to have a better performance this time around than maybe he did in that fight, or that he would at least if he was off for another year or two. And it shows me that he's hungry and that he wants to be in there. Because something about Alex Perez that I always questioned, I guess based on the cancelled fights, even though a lot of times it wasn't him cancelling them, It was like, does this guy really want to be in there? You know, the only times I've seen him in it over the last 4 years, he's getting submitted instantly in round one. And, you know, oftentimes we see fighters cuck out a little bit. And what I mean by that is they go in there, but they don't really want to be in there. They get finished early. They get submitted. They do a quick tap, whatever it may be. And, you know, seeing him get blasted in round one and then seeing him miss weight against Matt Schnell when Matt Schnell pulled out of the fight after that, seeing him pull out himself, it was like, to me, it was like, does Alex Perez even want to be in here, man? And then so I thought, you know, when he fought Muhammad Markayev, it's like, all right, he's just showing up for a paycheck. Nothing he's shown me recently in the last 3 years shows me he wants to be in there. I don't think he wants to be in there. Makhachev's the new star, 10-0. Makhachev's going to run through him. He's going to get a submission. And I bet on the under 2.5 rounds, I believe it was, or Makhachev inside the distance, something like that. And, you know, Perez showed out there, man. Perez had a great performance there. Now, Makhachev said that he had a bad, what was it? I think he said he had a really bad flu. And then he posted up a picture of the toilet bowl after he went to the toilet.
You know, I muted him for that.
I'm not surprised, bro. He deserves a block, let alone a mute.
Don't ever put that on my timeline, you know?
Yeah, I think I saw you post about it. And then I think I was DMing my friend and I said, oh, what's this that, you know, someone just posted about this happening? And then he told me what it was. And I'm like, bro, I don't even want to go and see that. So I've never seen it to this day, but I don't know if
you keep it that way, you know.
Yeah.
Protect your virgin eyes, please.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it that way. But, you know, he said he had a bad performance based on that. He was sick, whatnot. It's always hard to decipher, you know, whether that's the truth. I'm sure he was sick, but a lot of fighters are sick going into fights. A lot of fighters have injuries. I kind of just ignore that for the most part. I don't think Makhachev looked terrible there either. He looked kind of like what he could potentially look like. You know, he's kind of a one-dimensional grappler. If he can't grapple you, he ain't going to look good. And he couldn't really grapple Alex Perez there. I thought Perez had a good performance there. But Perez did what he always does to himself, which is shoots himself in the foot, you know, because that fight was right there for him to win in round three. It was 1-1 going into round three. The fight was clearly on the table for him. And all he needed to do was throw a couple of more strikes, man. Land a few more strikes, and he just didn't do it. Maybe he was just so worried about getting taken down. He was really of the defensive mindset as opposed to the offensive mindset. But I do think it was a good performance from him, you know, going up against at least a lot better than I thought it would be. Let's put it that way. So he showed me something in that fight. And in this fight, you know, I could break this fight down technically, but I've spoke about it for a while, so I'll just wrap it up now. I just think the fight's close, Dan. I think both fighters are good strikers. I think both fighters are good grapplers. I don't really see where a fighter has a massive edge on the other. You could say Nicolau has a big power edge on the feet, because I do think he hits quite a decent bit harder. But then that is equalized by the fact that Nicolau ain't got a great chin, and he's never had a great chin. Now, the shots that he's been hurt by, they have been fucking bombs. The knee, the head kick back in the day. But I don't think he's got a great chin. You know, even in the Cape fight, he got dropped there. Cape hits hard again, okay. But I think that the power of Nicolau is now equalized by the chin of Nicolau. So it's like every time I compare these fighters, they just seem to equal out. And if the fighters equal out, I'm calling it a minus 110 pick'em. I'm betting on the underdog. And that's what I've done, Dan. I've got a plus 160 bet or plus 165, whatever it was, plus 155 on Alex Perez here. Who knows what Alex Perez we're going to see? Who knows what Nicolau we're going to see after a brutal KO? First round KO. I don't know how he's going to perform. You know, fighters coming off a first round KO, oftentimes they're a bit hesitant in the next fight. We never know, right? So I just feel like it's a close fight, Dan, and I can't pick it. So I'm picking the underdog, man. What about you?
You know, man, I don't really think that Alex Perez showed out in that Mokaya fight. I don't think either guy showed out. I think it was just a bad fight. You know, we just got to call it what it is. That fight sucked. I mean, like, Alex Perez landed 30 strikes, you know, so zero takedowns. He defended 17 takedowns, which was nice, but that was just a stylistic thing. You know, two good wrestlers going at it. Sometimes they're going to end up striking, but you know, Mokaya doesn't strike at all. So it was basically Alex Perez defending takedowns for 3 rounds. But yeah, I didn't see any urgency from him. I think the only reason that people are giving him credit is A, because the line was like minus 400 on Mokaev, and B, because Perez's two fights prior, he got just like ran through. And this time he went the distance with the undefeated phenom, but I don't think that either guy looked good in that fight. And that's the reason why Steve Ursa got the title shot and not Mokaev, you know, because of that fight. So, and man, it bums me out that Manel Kapp is not in the main event here against Nicolau, you know, because Manel Kapp, I truly think that on his best day, he can be a UFC world champion. Nicolau's a guy I've been a fan of for a long time, back cashing a max bet against Lewis Smolka. And if you don't catch Nicolau, you're probably not beating Nicolau. The only times he's ever lost is when he's been knocked out. And that's the thing, you know, his chin. But on the other hand, he's got 22 pro fights. And, you know, like he's only been chinned in three of those 22 pro fights. So it's not like he's out here getting chinned every time. And he's a very play safe kind of guy. That's the thing here. He's going to kind of skirt a little bit. He's going to get behind his jab, make his reads, find his timing. He's got a decent left hook. He's got good leg kicks. He comes from the Nova Uniao camp. So from back in the day, he grew up with Jose Aldo. So that's why his takedown defense is so damn good. So if Alex Perez is coming out here looking to wrestle, I think that's a bad idea because, A, I think that Nicolau is going to stuff those takedowns. But B, Nicolau is nasty in terms of his jiu-jitsu. And you know Perez will have no hesitation tapping quick if something, you know, if Nicolau dangles off his neck or whatever the case may be. So I think they're going to bang it out. Perez only has one real UFC knockout against Jose Shorty Torres. You know, the Formiga fight was a leg kick TKO in Formiga's basically UFC retirement fight. I know he came back in the LFA later and like missed weight by 10 pounds against the kid that lost to Joshua Van, Philippe Bunes. Do you remember that? Formiga goes in there 10 pounds over, like a full weight class overweight, and chokes him unconscious and stuff. But like at the UFC level, his fighting days were done. So, I mean, I'm just not exactly sure what level Alex Perez is on at this point. Like, it's not like his skills are bad anywhere. I mean, the guy can slug, the guy can wrestle, good calf kicks. Oh, and I love his front headlock choke series, you know, his anaconda, his dars, his guillotine. I'm a huge fan of that, but I'm not sure how he stacks with the elite in this division anymore. Like the guys he was beating aren't, you know, in the company anymore. And Nicolau is another guy, like we were talking about Span, but this is a completely different kind of fighter, because I guess this is more like Rakic, like a play it safe kind of guy. Like I thought that like Nicolau would be a champ by now, man. Like I'm surprised that, you know, he hasn't gotten there. Like I'm not sure exactly what's missing. Do you think it's the chin? Like obviously his chin is his weakest point. Is that what's holding him back? Cause like the skills are there in every facet of MMA. Like as far as I'm concerned, like what would you say Mateus Nicolau's weakness is? I don't think it's his boxing. I don't think it's his takedown defense. I don't think it's his jiu-jitsu. Like what do you think his weakness is?
Definitely his chin. At the end of the day, you can't become a UFC champion without a chin. You just can't do it, right? Because at some point along the way, someone's gonna hit you really hard, and if you get knocked out, then you ain't gonna fight for the title. So, I mean, you're an MMA historian more than me, Dan. But has anyone with a bad chin become UFC champion at the time they had a chin? Because that's an interesting question that I don't think they have.
I mean, I'm sure they have. Luke Rockhold, Cody Garbrandt.
At the time, though, I mean, Cody wasn't knocked out until after, you know. I guess, okay, maybe you could say he had it before, but he never, I don't know. Maybe Luke Rockhold
had been spinning head kick KO'd and had been knocked out in a prior organization, too. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, long term, like, yeah, you don't want to bank on chinny guys to win belts. No doubt about it. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is I think that Nicolau is a phenomenal fighter. Like, I think he's good everywhere the fight goes. Just has to do the Alistair Overeem and work around that chin. You know, do what Cody Garbrandt was doing his last three fights, even though he lost to Davison. Dude, he was looking good in that first round. Like, Davison was the one who had to, resort to grappling, which actually surprised me that he was able to handle a D1 wrestler like that. Like, I know Davison's great on the ground, but I didn't think he'd have that kind of success, like, with Cody, considering his wrestling credentials. So I thought, if anything, Davison was going to be the one possibly chinning Cody, and Cody was, like, getting off on the feet. So, like, Cody's last three fights, he's been working around his chin. And, you know, for a fact, Nicolau, like, the one thing that's holding you back is when you get touched, you feel it more than others. He might be a really big flyweight. Like that cut to flyweight, like, you know, firsthand, dude, like that's the biggest cut in MMA. Like you're at the brink of your body fat, like for a grown ass man, like, and Nicolau's a big flyweight. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but is Perez elite, dude? Like is Perez really on that level? Like in your opinion? Cause I feel like sometimes when guys get to like the top 10 at the beginning of a division, like at the infancy of a division, sometimes they're grandfathered in. Like, do you remember when like Pettis and Cerrone and RDA were, and Ferguson were all at the end of their run, but like they were in the top 15 for like, you know, way past when they should have been, ahead of guys like Fiziev and like, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You understand the point I'm making, right?
Yeah, it's tough with Perez because we haven't seen it, right? Like the wins he's got in the octagon haven't shown it. But then the losses he's got in the octagon are against really good guys. Apart from, you could say, Muhammad Makhachev. But I just feel like, let's say he isn't at that elite level, but stylistically, this is a close fight, man. I can't see Nicolau doing something. I can't see Nicolau running away with it. I don't think he can cover this line. Even if, even if Perez may not necessarily be elite. And one thing I'll say about Nicolau as well, which I was going to mention, not only does his chin hold him back, but he doesn't put stamps on fights a lot of the times. You know, he can fight close. He can let minutes pass by. So Manel Cape, very, very good fight. But Manel Cape's the exact same. If he ain't getting you out of there, he ain't putting on 15-minute clean performances at all, really, because he's just too patient and he's too low volume at times. And that's what lost him that fight. So you could say the same for Nicolau, though. In that fight, he could have lost that fight. In the Tim Elliott fight, he lost round one. I think, I'm pretty sure he lost round one unanimously. Yeah,
he did.
And then won the next two rounds fairly cleanly. Tim kind of gassed out in that fight. He controlled him in that fight. Well done. It wasn't a blowaway performance. It is what it is. Good win, Tim Elliott. Fine.
But I guess, like, James, like, okay, so with five rounds here, if Perez isn't chinning Nicolau, do you trust him to, like, you know, bite down on that mouthpiece and try to outdog Nicolau? Because that's basically probably what you got to do here. Because if you're just going kind of like tit for tat, playing like a cute little volume game, a point game,
yeah,
Nicolau's probably winning that.
Perez is a pressure fighter. I think he's going to come forward. And I know you're probably, like, not giving as much credence to the Makhachev fight as me, because obviously you've said, you know, you thought both fighters looked bad in that fight. I also thought it wasn't a great performance for both fighters, but I do rate him for going the distance with Makhachev in my opinion, a 50-50 fight. I know it was a unanimous decision victory for Makhachev, but in my opinion, that's a 50-50 fight. If they said that Perez won, I would not say anything against that, you know. And I know a lot of people are screaming robbery, which, again, is stupid. But I thought it was a 50-50 fight against Muhammad Makhachev, who was a minus 400 favorite, who was meant to run through him instantly. And he was the one pushing the action. He was the one pressuring. Now, he wasn't really throwing much strikes, but I can get past that against someone who I rate. I have always rated Muhammad Makhachev. I think he's a very, very good fighter. And obviously, I don't think he's the best of all time, like some people have purported, but I also don't think he's the worst massive fraud, like people like to say, just because, you know, he's an undefeated prospect. So, man, I honestly thought that performance was good. And he did bite down on the mouthpiece there. He just didn't throw enough strikes. But he was walking forward. He was pressuring. He was the one stuffing the takedowns, pushing forward. So I feel like in a five-round fight, he will do that. And again, we may see a Perez that we've not seen in octagon before, or at least recently, based on him getting in the octagon 2-3 months later. We might see a new and improved Perez. Like, you got to think, man. He Figueiredo, Pantoja, Makhachev in what, 4-year period? And now he's fighting straight away. So in these type of high-level fights, it doesn't take for much for me to play the underdog. So I don't know who I'm picking outright, but hopefully it's Perez. So we'll see, man.
Yeah. He's just like one of these guys, though, that will have the tendency to let you down.
Yeah, it's true.
But I guess you could say that about Nicolau too, because I've been let down by him too against Dustin Ortiz. I did not expect, of all outcomes, I did not expect Dustin Ortiz to head kick KO him. So,
yeah.
Man, if Nicolau had a chin, you know.
And even in that Dvorak fight, I bet on him against Dvorak at, like, Pick'em. And that was a fucking close fight outside of the massive moment he had where he knocked down Dvorak. If he doesn't knock down Dvorak, which he did, well done, you know. I don't always like saying if he doesn't do this, because he literally did do it, right? So it's a fight and he did it, so it's fine. But we have to look at the rest of the fight as well. And again, that was a fucking 50-50-ish fight outside of the knockdown. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is just a 50-50-ish fight, you know, like either way. So, but we'll see, man. You know, I've got the money on the line, so I need to make a case for him. Would I be surprised if he loses? No, but I do think there's some value on him at the current line anyway. So I do want to get your opinion on this because it's my main event of the evening, probably a lot of people's main event. I've already broken down the fight, so I won't go too much. Maybe I'll touch on what you said a little bit, but can you give us a breakdown for Onama and JSP?
Yeah, it's tough because JSP on the feet, I mean, the guy doesn't move his head. He stands super tall. He's a little bit cocky. David Onama can sleep anybody, man. Like I said, like David Onama's the kind of guy that like can get his ass whooped, but can bail himself out with raw athleticism and disgusting firepower and heart. You got to give credit to his heart. Like in that Mason Jones fight, he was in some terrible spots that a lot of people would have quit to, and he just showed like what kind of warrior he is. So I'm just hoping for his sake that the technique side of things is leveling up, because we know everything else is there. And with JSP, you know, it's just about sticking to that game plan, not, you know, when Onama starts to pressure him and stuff like that, not, you know, getting carried away and trying to get into some kind of slugfest with a guy like Onama. That's not what, like, JSP needs to come out here and straight up country boy him. He needs to Bryce Mitchell him. He needs to shoot like 15 takedowns in this fight. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's a dog or pass, though, at these odds. But realistically, yeah. I mean, you know for a fact they run it 10 times. It's a different outcome every single time.
Yeah, and if that's the case, I think, like you said, man, it's dog or pass. Which it is for me, it's dog or pass. But I'm just excited for it. It's going to be a great fight.
Think about, like, Onama. Like, think about this, okay? Like, for example, like, remember Onama was minus, what, like 300 against Landwehr?
Yeah. Right?
I bet Landwehr like plus 275. Let's talk about that fight. So round one, Onama arguably 10-8 Landwehr. Yeah. And if he doesn't arguably 10-8 him, he arguably almost finishes him. At least give me that, right? But then he gets kind of dogged the next two rounds. But we're talking about a minus 300. So when that happens to a minus 300, you're pissed off about it. Now the tables are reversed. We're looking at what, plus 180 Onama or something like that? Plus, what is it?
Plus 170? Yeah, now it's like plus 145, plus 150.
Okay, still plus 150. If you give me a plus 150 and he goes out there and 10-8 his opponent in the first round, let's say he loses the next two rounds. That's still the correct side. Like, if your dog goes out there and gets a 10-8 in round one, I mean, I think you made the correct bet. So, yeah, like I said, if the odds were reversed in that Landwehr fight, then that's a great performance by Onama. But since he was a minus 300, it's considered that he shat the bed. That's just my opinion. So,
yeah,
this is a dog or pass situation, to make a long story short.
Yeah. At the end of the day, man, is he going to be able to defend takedowns? Is he going to be able to force scrambles? Is he going to be able to force striking exchanges? I think yes to all of those things. I also think he's going to get taken down. I give him a little bit of a pass for the Mason Jones fight where he kind of got dominated in the grappling. Upper weight class, short notice, UFC debut, toughest opponent to date. That's four things in one fight. It's not easy to overcome one of them, let alone all four. And in my opinion, if that was JSP, I think he might have got knocked out from some of those shots that Mason Jones take. Mason Jones is a tough motherfucker, way bigger, massive blockhead.
Marvin Vettori head.
Yeah, legit Marvin Vettori head. So I feel like even with that performance, which was his worst performance in terms of grappling performance ever, it's where we realized he may have some grappling deficiency, because it was the first time he kind of that happened to him, right? Because he was just running through everyone on the amateur and professional scene before. I think even in that performance, he probably would have knocked out JSP, man. And then the Gabriel Santos performance, that was a good performance based on the finish. Like, I thought he was kind of getting beat up in that fight. And like you said, he bailed himself out. You know, I thought he was losing the fight. I thought the grappling he was losing. I thought the striking he was losing. And then he just got bailed himself out. And I don't think JSP has the skills that Gabriel Santos does have at all. I just think that he's relentless with one skill or a couple of skills, cardio, pressure, pace, wrestling, and that carries him through. But I think Onama's going to have an even better performance than that one. So
for sure. We'll but you can't overlook that, because the way that you lose this bet is like late second round, late third round, like David Onama's breathing heavy on his back. JSP has finally gotten to him. It's deep waters. Like, and that's where you like, you know, you want to break your TV in half like that. So that's the thing. But then again, it's not like you're laying chalk. It's not like you're laying chalk and that happens. It's like that might happen and you have a, you know, a good number on a dog. So that's the good news. But again, back to the number, like in that Landwehr fight, you lay a minus 300 and your guy's getting laid on, like, dude, that's where, like, you know, I'm freaking out, you know? So yeah, definitely like dogs in these kind of fights.
And that fight too, Onama, like you said, he showed his heart, even in a fight where he lost as a big favorite, because take the betting line out the window. That was a crazy fight. Onama doesn't care about the betting line. Landwehr doesn't care about the betting line.
Onama's coach cares about the betting line.
Yeah, he cared about it. But, you know, like, both of them are going in there to swing. Fuck the betting line. They're just going in there. And it was a dogfight. And he showed so much heart in that. Even in round three, he was landing bombs on Nate Landwehr. We almost rocked Landwehr in late round three at one point. He just had no gas at that point. So, you know, improving guy, potentially. How old is he? 29 years old? He could still be improving. He's kind of young in his career.
He's definitely still improving.
Yeah.
And he's got to have a lot of confidence from that last fight.
Yeah, man. So, we'll see. It's a great fight either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Pierce wins this fight. I just feel like, you know, I feel like his dog will pass. I kind of feel like the Nicolau fight is kind of even money, man. And sometimes it's annoying, Dan, when you play underdogs in a fight that you're saying is 50-50, because you ain't got no confidence in who's going to win. You're saying it's a 50-50. You literally got zero confidence at all, and yet you're putting your money on them. So kind of that can be annoying sometimes, because oftentimes they'll lose because, you know, you're not confident on them anyway. It's not a big deal. Like, you kind of was almost expecting them to lose half of the time, but you still got to put your money on them. So sometimes they can be annoying, those bets. But, man, we got to play it. It is what it is, isn't it? You got to play the game, bro. So that's it, man. But thanks for coming on, bro. That was a good show. I usually only do the main card, but we broke down the Mahashate fight for you guys. So hopefully you enjoyed that. And that's it, Dan. You got anything you want to say before I get out of here, bro?
Nah, man, that's it. I appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate your audience as well. And I hope you'll have a good rest of the week. And let's cash these bets.
All right. Thanks, bro. Everyone go check out Dan Half the Battle. I'm sure you know who he is. But if not, check him out. I'm out of here.
Peace out, bro.
See you, bro.